Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Joel Barker's back. Joel is a 15-year member of our Brain Trust. He is the person who popularized paradigm thinking and also especially the paradigm shift, which we're going to talk about some today. He's the author of a bunch of books, including my favorite, Paradigms, The Business of Discovering the Future. It's also a film that I encourage you to find. And he's our good friend, Joel Barker. Welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. And I would say it's a bunch of films and a couple of books.
Yeah, at least. Future Edge and Five Regions of the Future and the Paradigm book is changed. Folks, I don't mind telling you, before I knew Joel personally, the Paradigm book and film changed my life. So I'm just saying. Hey, Joel, one of the things you've done an awesome job of as one of the top futurists of our time is you have been bringing us things that were on the horizon, things that were maybe just over the horizon for the average person, but you connected the dots, you saw the implications, and you said, okay, look for these things. And we're going to review a few of those things. And some of them have come to pass, and some of them are closer than ever. Some of these things that we discussed. Go ahead and get started.
Well, I put a list together for you, Jim. And basically what we're doing is we're going to go out 10 years and say, if we were to visit 10 years from now, what would we expect to see? And a lot of it ties back to things that I brought up in our monthly meetings on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
First one I had on my list, and it's kind of a joke between you and me, but it's true, it's graphene. And graphene byproducts they're very expensive now. They're in the literally hundreds of thousands of dollars per ton to make this stuff. But 10 years from now, I'm saying they will be cheap. They will be bifurcated and used in many ways. And they will be the basis of a new material to build from. And half of this carbon will have been taken from the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So we'll also be sorting down from the atmosphere.
Graphene is a carbon byproduct, folks, but it has been with us all along, but it's only been recently discovered, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's always been able to do, but we've just finally figured out how to do it. And that, you know, if you think about stainless steel is a good example, same thing. We knew it could be done. We didn't know how to do it. Then we figured it out. And it's the same thing. Very, very useful, very, very strong. And it's we can literally help take care of the carbon in the air, the CO2 in the air.
And not only will it become a great building material for a number of applications, from the everyday to the amazing, but it will serve as a sustainability, it'll contribute to sustainability too, won't it?
Yes, because it'll always be there. There'll always be CO2 in the air to take out.
Yeah.
And some people complain, they say, well, you got to spend energy to take the CO2 out of the air, and my answer is we still need to spend the energy because it's the climate change.
That's right.
Overriding all of this stuff is the climate issue. So this will be helpful for the climate.
All right. So, and then now, you know, one of the very first things you and I talked about was 3D printing. I mean, when you brought up 3D printing, it was like, wow, did you see that in some sci-fi book or something? But now it's not only 10 years out. I mean, things are happening with 3D printing like crazy right now.
Well, within the paradigm framework, what we've been watching the last couple of years with 3D printing is its ability to become commercialized and commoditized and accessible from every point of view. So what I see with 3D printing is it's going to be used across industries. It will allow for local, cheap manufacturing, and I know you were just commenting with your previous visitor about manufacturing. You could hemisphereize it is one way. I'm going to suggest that it's going to come down to cities, and that people will be producing most of their things using 3D printing so that if you want a sofa, it'll be 3D printed. If you want a toaster, it'll be 3D printed. And what we have is we have manufacturing on demand, which changes the whole layout
everything.
In terms of supply chains and the whole thing.
Instead of transporting throughput material to a factory and then transporting parts to an assembly and then transporting assembled product to the user, the throughput goes to one place and the consumer picks it up.
Well said. And also that allows for localization of the product so that it's designed exactly for the humidity or the temperature. So we have all those things. Plus what it means is that every city, every small location has the skills to produce what they need via 3D printing.
Well, and individuals will have this capability. It'll be like an IoT device, essentially. I mean, people will be able to produce it themselves. So, folks, 3D printing is real, and it's anywhere from construction to body parts and to replacement body parts. All right, let's move over to electric vehicles. This is on everybody's radar right now.
This is Elon Musk having something to do with the world. And what we're going to see in 10 years is an infrastructure that supports electric cars completely in all the developed countries. Why that is important is because until you have a cheap, easy way to get to the fuel of your vehicle, you're not interested in having an electric car, or at least you're much less interested
right.
in having an electric car, except for local rides. What the infrastructure will allow you to do is to have a charging port almost anywhere in the country that is cheap, easy to use, and gives you the freedom of movement because you have the ability to fill up your batteries, basically.
Right.
And it's an infrastructure, so it's a huge number of jobs, huge number of maintenance things. Our president talks about jobs in the future. This is one of those places where you'll have both the putting it in place and maintaining it for thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of workers, perhaps.
One of the things we'll have to reconcile, though, Joel, is all this electricity has to come from a power plant. And so we can't hate the power plant and love the electric car. You know what I mean? We've got to reconcile those two. And right now, politically, there's a disconnect out there. And I hope we get that fixed pretty soon. We're going to come back after the break and talk some more about what has been forecasted by our good friend Joe Barker for the past 15 years. Where is it now and where's it going? Fascinating stuff from our good friend Joe Barker. Put a .com on the end of his name and you'll find him online.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.